Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. We got Nicole Galinas back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Nicole is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is a chartered financial analyst. She is a Manhattan Institute senior fellow. You know who the Manhattan Institute is. We got a lot of good friends over there. She's a contributing editor to City Journal. She's the author of one of my new favorite books, After the Fall, Saving Capitalism from Wall Street and Washington. You've heard me say that before, haven't you? And as I say, she's our good friend, Nicole Galinas. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you back, as always, Nicole. Our microphone is your microphone. Nicole, it's really easy right now to vilify Wall Street banks. I've called them on the carpet on this show before. I said long before the meltdown of 08, at least a couple of years, maybe more, before that happened, my instincts told me that Wall Street was working at cross purposes with Main Street.
Mm.
I mean, I didn't know exactly how to explain it. I didn't know how to put my finger on it because I'm out here on Main Street. But I just knew that some of the things that they were doing, I could see some of the things they were doing were at cross purposes with Main Street. One example to me is our fealty to the quarterly earnings report.
Right.
I think that kind of short term thinking is bad for the marketplace because the marketplace doesn't work in 90 days. The marketplace takes longer to turn around, and when you're trying to make the quarter the most important thing for all your operations, then I don't think that's good for Main Street because we don't operate like that out here. But now we know what's happened. We know what the mistakes were. We know where the greed factor was. We know what that cost us. So it's easy for the average person to vilify Wall Street and especially the banks. So now comes Senator Dodd with his financial reform bill. And it's going to be a populist kind of a bill, isn't it? I mean, it's going to get a lot of support from Main Street, isn't it?
Well, the rhetoric around the bill has been very populist, but the bill itself is very friendly to Wall Street because you have a systemic risk regulator. You know, Wall Street has not been against this part of the bill. They actually suggested this a couple of years ago.
Now, this pardon me, Nicole. The main thing is this bill is allegedly designed to prevent what happened in 2008, right?
Right.
I mean, isn't that the rhetoric?
Oh yes, absolutely.
But you've looked into this, and you don't think that's what's going to happen. Now, go ahead.
Right, because you have this idea that you're going to have this financial stability oversight council, that's this systemic risk regulator that will be created in the bill that's going to, you'll try to find future risks to the American economy and prevent those things before they happen. But we know that nobody can predict the future, and the problem is by saying this regulator, this council is going to be responsible for predicting the future and have to pay particular attention to banks or financial companies that have more than $50 billion in assets. People, investors, will feel like if this council says that investing in a particular bank's stock or a particular bank's bonds is safe, then I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to go ahead and lend that bank too much money. And we're right back to where we were.
So you're saying that by the government saying that they're watching things and you looking at a possible investment, either you as an individual or maybe an institution, looking at an entity and to invest in it, and you're thinking, well, it must be okay because the government's watching these things.
Right. Maybe.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
And so here's my question. What's the difference between that scenario which I agree with you, this new bill will create. What's the difference in that scenario and July 2008 when Barney Frank came on the air and said he thought that Fannie Mae was still a good investment?
Right, exactly.
Is there any difference?
No, because, and that's very instructive, because people think, well, you know, it's kind of obvious that the mortgage market fell apart. All we needed was for someone to tell us that. But back then, it wasn't so obvious. If you had this, I was one of the people saying this is a bubble, but very few people were listening at the time, and that's fine. But that's just life. I mean, if you had this systemic risk regulator, the regulator likely would have said that these mortgage-backed securities are perfectly safe, that a company like AIG is perfectly safe because it has a very high rating. It would have been very hard for any institution to go and buck the conventional wisdom. Mm-hmm. All that would happen is Congress, you know, would have pulled this regulator aside and said, what is it that you're doing? You're hurting the economy by making all these warnings, by telling banks they have to hold more capital. You know, that's the definition of a bubble. That's why you really need very hard borrowing limits across financial firms and financial instruments.
Right.
And you have to trade these derivative financial instruments on exchanges. The first thing the bill doesn't do. The second thing, they're getting better at it, but we haven't seen the text yet. It's still under negotiation. And we have to make sure that neither party adds in these loopholes. And unfortunately, those things are not what Congress is focused on. They're focused on systemic risk regulator, bailout fund, all kinds of other things.
Well, here's what they're focused on, Nicole. I agree with what you just said about what they're focused on. But what they're really focused on is doing something to make the average investor, the average voter, think that they did something. That's their singular goal. That's their default goal, is just like they did with Sarbanes-Oxley. You and I both know that they didn't solve, with Sarbanes-Oxley in 2002, they didn't solve anything that was created the year before when Enron and the others, you know, came to light what they'd gotten us into. They didn't solve any of the reasons that those guys got us into trouble. They just created another law in the way that they do it, just so they could show their constituents that they did something. And that's the way I feel about this bill. And so folks, here's the thing. We're going to go to a break. Here's the thing. What Nicole is telling you is that it sounds to me like they're creating another implicit support of the government for any too big to fail corporation or bank. It's an implicit support of the government. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and listen and read all the other stuff that's there. We've got, you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes. We got something for you at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. After the fall, saving capitalism from Wall Street and Washington. What an absolutely appropriate subtitle for one of my favorite books now by Nicole Galinas. Nicole is our good friend and our Brain Trust member. After the Fall is the title. Saving Capitalism from Wall Street and Washington. Nicole, if I'd stayed up all night, I couldn't have come up with a better subtitle than that, because that's where the problem is. Capitalism does not need to be saved from itself. It will self-regulate itself, but it must. Obviously, there's got to be some regulation. We put locks on doors, don't we? We have alarm system. We have police to help us from the bad guys. We have to have that kind of stuff. But the main assault on capitalism is not from itself, from within. It's from without, from Wall Street, the greedy on Wall Street, and from Washington. Nicole, the Dodd bill, which is what we're talking about. By the way, tell the audience, before I go any further, tell the audience how they can find your book.
Well, it's in a lot of the bookstores. If people can't find it in the bookstore, they can get it online as well.
So check it out wherever. And also Manhattan Institute, manhattan-institute.org.
Yep. And city-journal.org.
Yeah.
Lots of good writers there. So check
absolutely.
It out.
All of our friends there at the Manhattan Institute are all there. And you were on Kudlow yesterday, weren't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the Kudlow Report last night. And she's getting around. Okay. The thing about the Dodd financial reform bill, and it's about to become a bipartisan bill, right? I mean, this is pretty quickly becoming a bipartisan supported bill, isn't it?
Well, we'll see. I mean, as of yesterday afternoon, the Republicans were blocking the debate, but it's very hard for all 41 Republicans to stay in a block on this.
Yep.
I mean, there's, you know, if you're running for re-election this year, it's a lot of pressure to get something passed.
And they lost. What's the guy in Iowa?
Grassley.
I think they lost Grassley. At least I thought they did. The Republicans.
He voted for derivatives regulation in committee, and you know, I think the derivatives part of the bill, that's something that's absolutely necessary.
Right.
And he did say that this may have changed. I haven't read this morning's news yet, but as of last night, he was still saying he has real problems with the entire bill, so
right,
he's not going to be voting for it when it comes.
But don't you think this bill is going to pass this year?
I don't think anything. You know, I'm very bad at predictions.
Most people are saying, though, it's going to pass. But let's talk about, folks, this is a financial reform bill that if you listen to Dodd and some of the others, and including some Republicans, I've heard them talk about this. This is a bill that's designed to prevent the too big to fail thing, right?
Right. That's what the president.
That's one of the main issues. But you don't think you think this bill won't actually accomplish that?
No, because there's just too much ambiguity. The bill still says, you know, there's a whole section on orderly liquidation authority. It's maybe 200 pages long, and people should read that. You know, you can get through it. It takes a while, but it really does show you, you know, for example, where it says the taxpayer will be paid back any money that he is owed. It says when the government wants to make an exception to that rule,
yeah,
it can do so when appropriate. And
that's
also
the ambiguous part. Nicole, as in the time we got left, why should Main Street small businesses care about this debate and about all this?
Well, a few reasons. I mean, you know, we've seen for 20 years big banks are treated better than little banks are. Little
yep.
banks fail, big banks are rescued.
Right.
And that makes credit more expensive for small businesses because if you're a small bank, you have to pay more for the lending, the borrowing that you do, and then you've got to charge more for the lending that you do. And then another thing is the cost of talent. I mean, if you're doing a entrepreneurial startup, you want to attract, you know, people from young people or whatever age people you want to attract, you have to compete with Wall Street firms that can pay people much, much more.
Right.
Because they're guaranteed permanently by the government.
But another thing, Nicole, when small businesses fail, it fails and it's dismembered and
yep.
and it goes away and never to, you know, and it's just history. The problem is you've got people who are taking risks in environments where there's still the potential to be too big to fail, and that changes the dynamic of risk in the marketplace, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, AIG should have gone through bankruptcy. The
yeah.
lenders should have taken big losses.
Merrill Lynch.
And instead, these companies are saved by the government,
yep.
and they will continue to be so in the future.
And so now, here's the last big thing. Now we've got the government as the arbiter of what happens in the marketplace.
Right.
And that's not good for small business.
No, you can't have the government with such a level of micromanagement of the industry
right.
that decides what other industries get capital.
And won't this new bill actually just increase that, put that on steroids?
Oh, absolutely, very
yeah.
much so.
That's the issue, folks. That's why you should care as a small business owner about this bill. Everything, we're all connected, ladies and gentlemen, in the marketplace. And whatever happens in one sector affects the other sector. Hey, Nicole, thanks for being here. Good job.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Always
on.
A pleasure. After the fall, saving capitalism from Wall Street and Washington, Nicole Galinas. It's an important book, folks. Buy two. You want to give one away. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.